Hey, it's Meatball.
And Mark.
And this is the Rocker Morning Show on demand from 107.7 RKR. Kalamazoo's Rock Station 107.7 RKR. It is the Rocker Morning Show with Meatball.
And Mark Frankhouse.
What's up, man? How are you this morning?
Great. So happy it's a weekend.
Man, no kidding.
Oh my gosh.
I'm off to a rough start today.
That's not good.
Words not go good. I think I've broken three things already this morning.
No.
I've only been awake like 2 hours, so...
I got a long day ahead of us.
I got a long weekend ahead of me, just not doing anything. Shouts out to, real quick, I'm going to have more on this next week because it's kind of a cool thing she's doing. But shouts out to Jamie with our friends over at Coffee Rescue. The morning show is fueled by them today.
Yeah, literally.
She made a trip by yesterday just to say hi. And brought us some fun stuff and some good coffee. But it's actually for a good cause. So more on that next week, though, because I've got some more information on that that I think people are going to find interesting. But I definitely need this coffee today because I slept so weird last night. I don't know if you're like me, but like, you know, we were talking about most radio personalities have tinnitus.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like the ringing in your ear. So a lot of us will go to bed with like the TV on or music playing or something to that effect, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I will combat my tinnitus when it's quiet by getting songs stuck in my head. In particular, when I go to bed at night, like when I wake up in the morning, you get songs stuck in your head, like when you're sleeping?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any recurring ones?
Strangely enough, like... Chain Gang by Sam Cooke.
Wait, what is that song? I don't know if I'm...
That's the sound of the man.
Yeah. How do you get that stuck in your head, man?
I just like Sam Cooke a lot. His songs are catchy. Fats Domino, too. Another, like, super catchy artist.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Last night, I managed to get two of the longest songs in the world stuck in my head, so I couldn't get back to sleep.
Yeah.
I woke up at one point, and I was humming Stairway.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, all of it. And then I was like, oh, it's only 1 o'clock. I'm going back to bed. I woke up again humming Layla from Dominoes, man. Like, I'm just like, what? Why are these the songs popping into my head today? What is going on?
I don't know. I'll catch myself waking up and, like, scatting. I do. I'll wake up and I'll go, and I just go back to bed. Dog's looking at me like.
I was just getting ready to say, you roll over and Scarlett's looking at you like, bro, are you all right?
Okay? You're singing right now. I'm trying to sleep. Bothering me.
Excuse me while I get back to scrumping on the bed.
Kalamazoo's Rock Station 107.7 RKR. It's a Rocker Morning Show with Mark Frankhouse.
And Meatball.
Meatball, when you were growing up and... I guess depending on like your home city, did you guys have like a homegrown movie theater?
Yeah. Actually my folks worked at it, you know, in the evenings, like 3 days a week or something.
Gotcha.
So it, de facto, I got to work there too as a kid, but like I got paid in candy and free movies. Oh. So
yeah, as a kid, that's kind of like money.
Yeah. Oh, you know? Yeah, it absolutely is. I got to see some pretty cool movies though, but yeah, it was like an old small town, movie theater that is now very much abandoned.
I was going to say, was it like a chain or was it just like a one-off?
No. This was he's a friend of the family now. He owns one, in a different town now, but, yeah, he owned the place. He was like, come work for me. Come help me out.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
We had something similar on the east side of the state. It was called Star Theaters.
Okay.
And it was a Michigan-based company.
Okay.
So it was like solely based in Michigan. It was actually on the east side mainly. They had locations in Southfield, Clinton Township. They did have one in, I think it's still open, in Holland. It's Star Holland.
Okay.
There's also another one that's still open at Great Lakes Crossing.
So they're not, these aren't all shut down.
For the most part,
there's still a few there.
Yeah, because they eventually sold to AMC. So even like even the one at Great Lakes Crossing is called AMC Star Great Lakes.
Okay.
I'm curious if you're listening, if you're from Holland, let me know. Is it still Star Holland? Hit us up at 978-1077. I'm curious if this is still Star Holland. We actually had one in Rochester Hills. Okay. Star Rogers. It was across the street from where we grew up.
Yeah.
And we would go there a lot. And it was just a classic movie theater, man. It was awesome. Yeah. Like, you went in and, like, just had a look about it. The design, the architecture behind them was the same in every place. You would come out of the movies and they'd have these red candies in a giant bowl. You'd just grab a handful of them and pocket them. But they were great. I loved going to Star. But one by one, they were kind of closing.
Okay.
And it was kind of unfortunate. And now the one across the street, it's still a movie theater, but it's Imagine Theaters.
Okay.
So it's just kind of a bummer that Star Theaters is pretty much gone. They sold to AMC in the 2000s, and that's pretty much where they're at now. But we have kind of a rare look at one of these Star Theaters that's abandoned and decaying. There's a kid I know who actually got in there. And by the way, just as a disclaimer, under no circumstances should you enter any property like this. By doing so, you can risk bodily harm or prosecution for trespassing on private property. So just a reminder there. But we do have these photos up here on the Rocker app. And, man, it took me right back. I was like, man, I miss Star Theaters.
Yeah.
Like, they were a little cramped. But I don't know, man. It's just, like I said, it's nostalgic for me.
There's something about those old theaters, you know, when you were younger. Because, like, there's two that really come to mind for me. One is, you know, the bigger theater that I grew up on. They called it the Pink Palace. And it was literally, like, you know, those late 1980s, early 90s background images and stuff that was just, like, it was kind of this weird pinkish salmon color with random shapes in, like, yellow, blue, and red, you know, lines and circles and triangles and stuff. That's what the building looked like. That's how it was painted. That movie theater eventually turned into a dollar movie theater.
Wow.
So, like, you can literally go see movies, like, the week before they came out on DVD.
Man.
You know? So I loved that theater. I actually worked at that theater when I was in college for a little while, too, during the summer. And then the theater that I actually worked in when I was a kid, this was one of those old downtowns in a small town. So it was, like, literally an old theater from back in the day.
That's cool.
That he had kind of retrofitted and stuff. The thing is I worked at that theater as a kid when the Blair Witch came out, the original one.
Oh, man.
And if you've ever been in the back of those old downtown buildings in small towns, they're horrifying. Especially when you go behind a giant movie screen. And on top of that, there's an area at the front of the temple of the screen that would flood when it rains. So, like, it just sounded even creepier because you could hear water dripping. And then you would have to go back there, and everything was wet and dank, and it just smelled like old woods and stuff back there. It was a nightmare.
That's great. I love hearing about that.
At the same time, I saw the Blair Witch there, and then I saw American Pie, the first one. I was there. So, you know.
Kind of took your mind off your worries.
Yeah, a lot of young, early memories in that movie theater.
Oh, man. Well, if you remember Star Theaters, hit us up, 978-1077, and you can check out these photos of an abandoned Star Theater. It's up here on the Rocker app. No pies, sadly, Meatball, in this place.
I'm sure some of the people out there have some pretty interesting and fun movie theater stories. I would love to hear them.
Yes.
They're always good.
Keep them PG-13, if you know, know what I'm saying.
It's time to turn up your dials and tune out the traffic because we're playing the Daily Five on the Rocker Morning Show. Testing the mental magnitude of your favorite morning monkeys on the radio. And now, your hosts for the Daily Five, Meatball and Mark Frankhouse.
It is the Daily Five where Mark and I ask each other questions. The other one answers. Today, I'm asking the questions. Mark is answering. Mark, you got some help on the line this morning from Roxanne. Good morning, Roxanne. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Thank you.
Awesome, Roxanne. You got to help me get 3 out of 5 questions correct. If you do, I'll get the 4th point for the week. If not, Meatball will close the gap and finish the week off 3-2.
Let's go.
All right.
Question number 1 has to do with entertainment. The TV show Living Single debuted in 1993, starring Queen Latifah, and had an all-black cast. The show was so successful in its debut, it served as the template for another show that debuted the next year. What was that show? Was it Ellen, Party of Five, or Friends?
Ellen. God, I don't remember the Ellen show.
It was Party just like her five. Living. Of all three of these, I believe, with the exception of Party 5. Well, maybe that. It was just people living in New York doing things. Party 5 was different.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't know, Roxanne. What do you think?
Well, I was leaning towards Party of 5.
You know, that kind of jumped out. Yeah, I was thinking it's either Party of 5 or Friends.
But Friends started before 98.
Well, this Living Single was 93, so the show would have been...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But Friends, Friends didn't start in 94, did it?
I think it did.
Really? Okay, do you want to go with Friends then?
Sure.
All right, let's go Friends, final answer.
Going Friends, final answer.
Wow.
That is correct.
Woo!
This is an all-white cast ripoff of Living Single, which also was set in New York. Like, that's not even a joke. That's just reality.
Right. That's crazy. Nice job, Roxanne.
All right. Question number two. This is music or musical instruments. How many strings are on a typical violin? Are there 4, 5, or 6?
I believe there are 4, Roxanne.
I'll go with you 4.
I think 4 is the correct answer, Maple. Let's go 4. Final answer.
4. Final answer. Wow. That is correct. Yep, just 4 strings on a violin.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes fiddles have 3, but that's because, you know, if you're playing a fiddle, you can't always afford new strings.
True.
Question number 3. This is games.
All right.
Outside of trying to settle arguments, the game Rock, Paper, Scissors is still a game. And the most common punishment for losing at Rock, Paper, Scissors is what? Is it a punch in the shoulder or arm, a wet willy, or a slap on the wrist with 2 fingers?
A punch in the arm, a wet willy, or a slap on the wrist with 2 fingers?
You used to do that on the playground where, like, you lick your fingers and you slap the person on the wrist.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. I grew up in a rough playground, I guess.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. Apparently. Good Lord. Meatball getting assaulted at lunch. Yeah, I don't know. I've never heard about this, Roxanne. I guess, like, a punch in the arm would make sense because that's just psychotic. I don't know. What do you think?
I was thinking punch in the arm because the other two, I just don't think makes sense either.
You know, let's just, Roxanne, I'm running with you today. I'm going to go punch in the arm, final answer.
Punch in the arm, final answer.
Ouch.
No, it was the 2 fingers to the wrist.
Wow, that's really weird. I've never seen anybody do that.
Yeah, it hurts a lot. Trust me, I know. All right.
Meatball, you need someone to speak to?
No, I'm good. Okay, I'm good now.
Cool.
Question number 4, this is science. What is the scientific name of the official device used to measure rainfall? And no, it's not a rain gauge. This is the official scientific name for the device that measures rainfall. Is it called a rainometer, a fallometer, or an ombrometer?
Ombrometer.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Rainometer, fallometer, ombrometer.
Ombrometer, for sure. Let's go. You cool with that for a final answer?
Yep.
Ombrometer.
Ombrometer, final answer. I thought I was going to get you.
Ding, 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 baby.
Yep, you got it. Man.
Wow. 4 points for the week, Roxanne. You are one of the best partners I've ever had on the Daily 5 trivia game. Beaming with confidence. So we're going to send you to see the legendary Graham Nash at the Kalamazoo State Theater.
Yes, thank you. I'm so excited.
Awesome, Roxanne. Thanks so much for hanging out with us today and leading me to victory.
Kalamazoo's Rock Station 107.7 RKR. It is the Rock and Morning Show with Meatball.
And Mark Frankhouse.
So EV vehicles, that's redundant. EVs, electric vehicles, on the rise now. Most motor companies are starting to come out with more models and more electric versions and hybrid versions of the other models too. Like, you know, Ford's doing the Mustang F-150, mm-hmm. you know, all the other companies are doing that as well. So with more EVs on the road, you know, it stands to reason that the infrastructure for charging stations is growing day by day.
Yeah.
Something truly unique for the EV community is coming to Battle Creek.
Really?
First of its kind, EV charging market. It's a pilot program, and it's going to be at a Citgo in Battle Creek. This is, it's a gas station on, I think they said 11 Mile Road, maybe something, somewhere out there. It already has some gas pumps there, but they are installing some electric charging stations out there.
Hmm.
And as part of this pilot program, they're going to install the chargers there, and it's going to look similar to like a fuel stop where you pull your car up at the pump, the charger, I guess, not a pump. And you park it there and charge it.
Electricity pump.
Yeah, an electricity pump. The pilot program is through Citgo. It's through a couple other organizations as well. The interesting thing about this is normally, you know, if you're a place that has the charging stations, like I know some restaurants do and other parking lots,
yeah,
you basically rent the charger from the company that put it there.
Huh.
And then you pay monthly rental charges or whatever. They are just flat out, Citgo is going to pay to put them into the place and then not charge them rent for it. Like, they're just, here you go, you know? So it's going to benefit Citgo because I think, you know, they get a cut of the charging cost, same as you would for fuel, you know? You're essentially just splitting the charges
right
on the charging as you would like fuel.
That's kind of interesting. And where is this going to be at again?
It's going to be in Battle Creek. I believe they said 11 Mile Road. And it may already be in operation. It wasn't super clear on that. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of the perfect place to put something like that, too. Because if you're testing an EV out of like the headquarters in Detroit for GM or Ford or whatever, like Battle Creek's about 2 hours from Detroit, you know? So it's long enough that you can use most of the charge on a vehicle, but not too far as to like you would have no other options to like, you know, find a charging station. And
right.
Stuff. So it's a good distance. It's a good place. And, you know, if it works out for Citgo and all the other companies involved, I mean, you could be seeing a lot more of these, man.
Yeah. That's pretty wild, man. Yeah. Because those are kind of few and far between. Charging stations sometimes can be hard to find.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So. And they do have, they're going to have both charging stations too. So like, I know Tesla's plug is different than a lot of the other ones.
Naturally.
So they're going to, yeah. It's like the Sony used to do the same thing. It's like, nope, our headphones plugs are different. They're power cords or whatever. But,
yeah.
But yeah, this is kind of cool, kind of inventive. And I appreciate that, you know, a petroleum company who is very reliant on oil is willing to kind of step out like this. So it could be interesting, too, because, you know, if we make another Zoolander movie, do you remember the gasoline fight they had in Zoolander? They could essentially do the same thing, but with a charging station. So instead of, you know, spraying gasoline on each other, they're shooting lightning bolts out of them.
I was going to say, like they did in the Green Mile.
Dude. It's not even 8 o'clock, my guy. Oh, my God.
If you've been with The Rocker for the past 35 years, you've got an open invite to come hang out with The Rocker Morning Show whenever you want. The first beer's on them. Celebrating 35 years as Kalamazoo's rock station. 107.7 RKR, The Rocker.
Kalamazoo's Rock Station 107.7 RKR. It is the Rock and Morning Show with Meatball.
And Mark Frankhouse.
So for those that know me and Mark, behind the scenes of the Rock and Morning Show, we love a good sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about them pretty much every day. And it's not an exaggeration.
No.
We even change the lyrics to songs to include sandwiches, po' boys, hoagies, all of the above.
Yeah.
So we're sandwich obsessed. I got to thinking the other day. I was like, man, what is the state sandwich? What is the official sandwich for the state of Michigan?
Yeah.
Do you know what it is?
No. But I would have to imagine it's got to be something unique. It's got to be like, man, if I was to guess, I would want to say like, man, I don't know. That's a tough one. It might end up being, because Kmart was so popular, maybe like a turkey and ham sub. A lot of people like peanut butter and jelly, so I could see that too.
Okay. Well, according to sources, the most iconic sandwich for the state of Michigan is the ham sandwich. That's it. Ham, pickle, mustard, bread. What? Ham sandwich. That's the most iconic sandwich in the state of Michigan, according to Delish.com.
Oh, Delish.com, huh?
Well, you know, they have some other stuff out there that's really good. Like the official state sandwich for the state of Ohio isn't even a sandwich. It's called the Polish Boy. It's a kielbasa with like, what is it? It has like cabbage on it. It's like sauerkraut, basically. Hot sauce and fries and some other stuff. Like it's awesome.
On a hot dog bun?
Yeah.
That's not a sandwich.
But at least they're creative with it, you know? They were just like, listen, we're going to go outside the mold here and pick something different. Mm. You know? They were like, we're not going to be a ham sandwich state. We're not going to be whatever. We're going to do this. Now, there is some contention to this because Orbitz also has a list of like the official state sandwiches out there. They list the Reuben as the official state sandwich for Michigan. Slightly better than a ham sandwich.
I could run with the Reuben. I like those.
It's my personal favorite sandwich, but I'm not from Michigan.
Right.
And the only thing they say about it is it's a great sandwich for the Great Lakes State. And they're like, Detroit has delis. So that's what we're picking.
What did ChatGPT write that? Come on.
Right.
It's a great sandwich for the Great Lakes. All you did was say great twice.
Yeah.
You're not.
So the state sandwiches for Michigan suck. We desperately need a new one. So I actually put out, I put a poll out or a question out on our Facebook yesterday. And I was like, what would you think and what would you want to be the state sandwich for Michigan? And I got some answers. Okay. Now, the first one I'm going to introduce you to is actually the official sandwich of the Upper Peninsula, of the Upers. It's called the Kudigi.
Okay.
Basically, it's an Italian sausage sandwich with like peppers and onions and stuff like that, cheese and tomato-based sauce. But the Italian sausage has the normal Italian spices in it, but also allspice, cinnamon, nutmeg, and cloves. So it's like an Italian sausage sandwich, but with Christmas flavors in it. Interesting. It's at least unique, you know?
Yeah, it's unique, but that's mixing salty and savory and sweet. And
I mean, don't knock it till you try it, you know?
Well, I think Upers are just bored up there.
That's entirely true. The other submission that we got a lot of was the olive burger, which I would call it a subgenre of a sandwich.
Yeah.
It's stuff between two pieces of bread.
It's a burger.
But I mean, tell me the difference between burger and sandwich.
Well, there's quite a bit of difference.
Right. People are arguing that the Coney dog should be considered. If Ohio can use a kielbasa, we can use an all beef frank, and we invented the damn thing. So.
We should not be taking influence from Ohio, clearly.
Well, no. People in our comment section said to do the Coney dog.
People on our comment section, we got to have a discussion here because a hot dog is not a sandwich.
You need to hear the rest of these. They want the pasty to be the official sandwich.
That's not a sandwich.
The PB&J because it's about the only one we can all afford. If we're going to go just plain old meat type sandwich, we might as well just go bologna sandwich because, I mean, why not? My favorite submission, though, the asphalt and construction barrel sandwich. It's just thinly sliced pieces of asphalt between two halves of a construction barrel.
Delicious.
And then, of course, there's the open-faced idiot sandwich. But that one is mostly made with ingredients from Ohio.
Kalamazoo's Rock Station 107.7 RKR. It's a Rocker Morning Show with Mark Frankhouse.
And Meatball.
I was very hyped to see. I got an email from somebody, and they were like, yo, do you see this? The Gilmore Car Museum in Richland has been named the best car museum in the world.
Awesome.
That's huge.
Well deserved.
And this is coming from Auto Trader, actually. So it's actually like somewhat of a reputable source here.
It's not just Steve's Car Magazine.
Right, exactly. And if you open up the Rocker app, actually, it's pretty cool. You get to take a look at what it's been named the 20 best car museums in the world. Obviously, there's a lot of really cool ones in the States. There's actually three in Michigan specifically. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot throughout the world. Latvia has a car museum, Istanbul, Turkey, Derbyshire, England as well. There's one in Indiana, the Studebaker National Museum.
Yep.
The Ford Paquette Avenue plant, that's the birthplace of the Model T.
Okay.
In Detroit. That landed at number 14. And There's also obviously the Henry Ford Museum in Dearborn. If you've never been out there, honestly, really, really cool experience. I remember as a kid, we went there. I actually got to see the Lincoln chair, which was awesome. Wow.
And it's so much more than just a car museum too. Like it's just, it's so, it's huge.
It's pretty wild, man. There's so much to do out there, but yeah, up on this list, man, number one in the world, Gilmore Car Museum.
It's so well deserved. Cause I mean, we've done some events out there, with them and they have a one of one Mustang.
Yeah.
That, literally exists nowhere else in the world. People clamor to get their own cars on display at the Gilmore so people can see them and so they can store them, you know, before car shows. Like,
right.
You're not just talking like show quality cars. Like, you're talking one of one vehicles. Like, none of them exist anywhere else on the planet except for at the Gilmore Car Museum. And it's so cool to walk through there, especially during Christmas because they decorate everything up. It's really, really neat.
Yeah.
But like, walking through the different eras of vehicles and seeing the different ways things were made. And oh my God, it is so nostalgic. So no matter what era of vehicle, like, you feel personally attached to, there's something there for you.
No doubt.
So it's so cool.
Yeah. If you guys want to check out some cool cars and see this list of the top 20 car museums of the world, maybe plan out a day trip. It's up here on the Rocker app. You can check out those cars before you can see them conveniently parked in two parking spaces sideways.
Kalamazoo's Rock Station 107.7 RKR. It is the Rock and Morning Show with Meatball.
And Mark Frankhouse.
Feels like the first time for Foreigner because they are finally nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yes.
And we're actually going to have Rick Wills on the show with us Monday, I believe.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that
one. Yeah, it's going to be a ton of fun talking about their Foreigner finally getting a nomination 20 years after they became eligible.
Right.
For the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So welcome to the studio. Turning off his phone alarm over there.
With entrance with beautiful chains.
Man, not many people have entrance music when they come into the studio.
Yeah, it's Chris. Awesome. our listeners, that call was not for you. It was just my beautiful wife calling me this morning.
Meatball, that wasn't his phone. That's just the sound that the universe makes when Chris walks into buildings, okay? You may have not picked up on that yet.
Yeah. Chris Turner from BC Pizza, Kalamazoo. Welcome back, man.
Great to be with you guys this morning.
Yeah, totally. Tell us about your week. How was things over there at BC Pizza?
Oh, my goodness. Completely crazy week. Started off amazing, as it always does, Monday mornings with you guys, getting to honor our workplace of the week. That was one of the more fun ones. Guys were a little chippy over there, which I enjoy a lot. Yeah. And then we ended the evening with every third Monday of the month, we have a business networking event at our business.
Oh, cool.
And we had 18 businesses represented at the event. And it's just a great time for small business to get together, network, get to know what each other have in common, and where we can help each other grow.
That's really cool.
Yeah, you see so many businesses that are, you know, that struggle over the past 4 or 5 years, you know. It's good to have that network out there and more support than competition, I guess, against each other.
It's cooperation, right?
Yeah, cooperation. That's the great phrase.
Absolutely. We even had Kazupi's there, which is just a half mile down the road. But we've become brothers and great friends. And so we're competing for the same clients, but man, we have each other's backs. So if we ever need a freezer or we need ingredients or whatever, we're just a couple doors away from each other and we can help each other out. So.
Yeah, phenomenal.
That's what it's all about.
Speaking of things that we do have that are unique with you, we do Workplace of the Week with BC Pizza. And we actually need to announce our Workplace of the Week. So should we get to it here? Let's do the drum roll.
All right. This week, Chris, do the honors.
So this week's winner is Diana Reynolds at the Comstock Community Center.
Yay!
Very nice. Excited about this one.
So Comstock Community Center, congratulations. You are the Rocker's Workplace of the Week, meaning BC Pizza off West Main and Kalamazoo and the Rocker are going to throw you a pizza party. So Diana Reynolds, if you're out there listening, hit us up 978-1077 and we will get your pizza order for Monday and we'll deliver that bad boy right there off of King Highway. So
any new offerings you're going to try?
We do have a new offering and this one's really from the heart. I want to be very careful not to overshare on air, but our family's going through a hard time where we are taking care of my father quite a bit on a daily basis, and it's just become very apparent to me that families that are taking care of a loved one, regardless of their age, but wherever they're at in their stage of life, is difficult. So for the month of March, I'd like to treat 10 families to a free pizza and breadstick once a week.
Awesome.
So it'll be 4 weeks for these 10 families. You can find us at BC Pizza on Facebook, or you can Google us and you can find our contact information there. But just reach out to me. We'd love to add you to the list and just walk beside you during this hard time.
That's fantastic, man.
Yeah, man. Well, we really appreciate that on behalf of the audience out there. So that's really cool of you to do that.
So, all right, let's get that call from Comstock Community Center.
Yeah, man.
Give us a holler, and we will set up your pizza party for Monday for Workplace of the Week.
Congratulations again, Diana Reynolds, on becoming Workplace of the Week. Set the needle and crank the knob. It's Mark Frankhouse, and I've got another crucial addition to your record collection. It's Vinyl and 45 on the Rocker. This week's guest on the Rocker, Ace Frehley and his former band, Kiss's fourth studio album, Destroyer, was released on March 15th in 1976 by
Casabla
Records and is a must-have for your collection. Featuring God of Thunder, Shout It Out Loud, Beth, and Detroit Rock City. The album was the first of theirs to go platinum and was a break from their well-polished sound from the first three albums, and delivered that strong live sound that fans had known to love them for. Make sure Destroyer is in your collection. This has been Vinyl and 45 on 107.7 RKR.
I would like to take this opportunity to express my fondness for a beer.
Good morning, my fellow Americans. It's Friday.
It's time to crack the first beer of the weekend with the Rocker Morning Show and Presidential Brewing Company.
On 107.7 RKR.
The Rocker.
Hey!
Yeah!
It is the best day of the week. Friday, first beer of the weekend. With our good friend Jake from Presidential Brewing in the house. What's up, man?
Oh, man. I'm, like, barely even standing after Monday. Holy shit. That was a heck of a day.
You had...
But I made it. I made it.
Yes.
And I brought beer.
And that's, you know, that's the most important part, I think.
Right? Yeah. Well, first and foremost, congratulations on the fifth-year anniversary.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, we had such a great day on Monday. It was jam-slammed. We got to see so many friends. Such a cool experience. Loved it. Our team was amazing. They did such a good job that day. Saw so many customers that have been with us since the beginning, some new ones as well. Man, what an experience. It was really, really awesome. So thank you to everybody that was involved in that. That was really incredible.
You had lines around the building, from what I understand.
Yeah,
too.
Never seen that before. That was a new one. But you know, I think that means it's time to celebrate with a beer.
Let's get that done. Oh, love that noise. All right, what did you bring us today, Jake?
All right, today I actually brought us the State of the Union 2024.
Okay.
Whoa. This is an anniversary beer that we made up. And Trevor, our brewer, you guys met Trevor.
Yeah.
He loves certain styles of beer. This is a Belgian IPA.
Oh,
Belgian IPA. So when we drink this one, we're going to taste some. They're called esters. These are things produced by yeast. These are flavors that are only in beers that are usually German or Belgian style. So we're going to have this Belgian style IPA, and we're going to, I would say that we're going to be looking for flavors like banana. That's one of the things that's going to come with the yeast. We're going to get a little bit of a smoky flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And then the hops on this also kind of combine with all this to make a really, really fruity experience. I smell papaya when I bring this up.
I was going
to
say it has a very tropical smell, but not like, you know, orange, lemon, lime, but it's a little more exotic than that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's a little bit out there. So it's a whole bunch of stuff. And the real kicker is this beer is 9%. So.
Woo! Wow. Yeah.
It's a party. It's a party here in the studio.
Before 10 a.m., baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Cheers, y'all.
Cheers, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Clank.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah, I say that every week, but
so starting the day with 9%, that's a sign of a good day.
This is my breakfast today. Like I'm eating this beer for breakfast.
It's perfect. That's perfect.
It's like summer.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of a summer flavor to it. I do get the banana.
Yeah.
Right.
Very,
off the
very much.
Well, and it's barely even possible to notice that it's 9%. It doesn't drink like a really heavy alcohol beer.
Yeah. Cause it's not, I mean, you know, if you were to look at it, it looks like a lighter beer.
Yeah.
You know, it's got some transparency element to it.
It doesn't bring that violent element that you're used to with those higher ABVs. But this one, it definitely
you want to limit the amount of these that you drink.
You don't have to chew this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, how long does it take to brew a beer like this?
So this particular beer, whenever we have a higher ABV beer, we usually like to let it sit a little bit longer. So closer to 3 weeks maybe from start to finish.
Gotcha.
And most other ales are maybe closer to 2 weeks, a little less sometimes even. And then the ones that take the longest are the lagers. Those are those are months sometimes in tanks.
It's crazy that they can create these kind of flavors, because the more I'm drinking this, the more that banana flavor is sitting on my tongue. But if you're not a fan of artificial banana, don't worry, it doesn't taste like artificial banana flavor.
Yeah, it doesn't taste runts.
Right.
The runts.
Which I
bananas.
Love. Yeah, but you know, I know a lot of people don't like that, but this has a very natural kind of banana aftertaste.
It goes with that tropical flavor you were saying, like you're getting the papaya and stuff. You know, banana is not something you would normally associate with like tropical stuff, but it is. It's a little more exotic in that regard.
It works out. It works out. So it's a fun combo. Definitely today, come out and try it. We don't have a ton of this. We only made a small batch. So we put it out on Monday for our anniversary. And if you come out today and try this beer, you'll get 50% off your first pour.
Fantastic.
Perfect timing, too, because we are giving away a $20 gift certificate to Presidential Brewing Company right now. To call number 7-978-1077. Get those calls in and we'll get you a $20 gift certificate to Presidential. And so you can get down on some food over there too, because I had the burger on Monday and that was just tops. The guys got an awesome menu over there, both drink and food. So definitely want people to go out there and take advantage of this. Whether you win the gift certificate or not, come celebrate Presidential Brewing Company's 5th year anniversary. Call number 7. Right now, 978-1077. Get yourself a gift certificate and let's have some fun.
All right. Cheers, everybody. Cheers. First beer of the weekend. Woo.